I have two questions I'd like to begin with. Here's the first. When has emptiness of any kind filled you with a hunger that you couldn't do anything about? And here's the second. When has any fullness not been enough to keep you hungering for more? You know, every day the headlines scream at us about how little we have or how much we've lost. They cry out that we're running on empty. Too much hunger, too much war, too much anger, too much grief. Emptiness surrounds our lives. It seems that there's just no way that everyone can get everything they want or everything they need. That's what we're told. There's not enough. Now, on a more personal level, how does that play out in your daily life? Are your savings enough? Is your vacation time adequate? Are you healthy enough? Do you have enough friends? Enough time? Enough understanding? Is there enough love for your marriage to grow? Or your family to be strong? I mean, does anyone ever really have enough? How often do we live with the fear that we're running on empty and there's nothing left to add to the tank? The world never has changed. 2,000 years ago, there was a day when Jesus and his disciples we're trying to get away and just have a chance for some peace and quiet. And all of a sudden, they found themselves surrounded with a hungry crowd. I'm sure Jesus taught for a couple hours. It's time to end. But they were all hungry. And there was no way to feed them all. It had the makings of a disaster. People had walked a long way just to hear Jesus speak. Planning had not been on anyone's agenda. And everyone needed a meal to give them the energy to be able to walk the many miles back home. Jesus' disciples realized that. They heard the moaning and the groaning. They told Jesus, there's a problem. We can't deal with it. So they went out and canvassed the crowd to see what might be shared, and they turned up only 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of salted fish. Not enough for thousands of people. There was no way all those hungry stomachs could be filled. And yet Matthew in his gospel tells the story about how Jesus blessed that meager supply of food. And miraculously, there was more than enough to fill everyone. And there was some left over. Now, that's really difficult to believe. And we can argue about how miracles happen. And yet we all know that they do. Now, this account boggles the imagination. But it does make us wonder. In God's world, is there ever really not enough? Now, in that story from Matthew's gospel that we just remembered, it was all about people who were empty, and then a gift filled them up. Now, think about the word gift. Any gift, the origin of any gift determines both the use and the response toward that gift. The giver has a reason to share a gift. The recipient understands why a gift was given. But after that, in our world, many times, we find that it's just not enough. Gifts are often perceived to be inappropriate or insufficient, not what I wanted, not what I needed. Gift givers are often unimpressed with the level of thankfulness that comes back, or maybe guilt that they didn't do more. If you think about it, we aren't always real good at giving or receiving. In God's realm, everything is different. Because God is creator, then everything is a gift from God. Doesn't matter what it is. Everything has the potential to be understood as a gift from God. And so God really is the first and last touch of every piece of creation. There's nothing that does not begin with God's creative touch. Wind, rain, birds, bees, babies, mountains, rivers, streams, sheep. I mean, go on and on. There is nothing that does not begin with God's creative touch. Now, too often, our question is, well, why doesn't God give us more? Especially when we want so much. But maybe the real issue has to do with how the gifts God has created are received and used. And such questions lead us back to the story from Matthew about too little food, which wasn't enough, and yet it was. Just as there is a background for any gift, given or received, so there is with every moment in the life of Jesus. Now, if you want to go back and look at this story, it's in Matthew chapter 14. There's something that happens right before it. Easy to forget. Jesus was out for prayer and looking for quiet because he had just found out that his cousin John the Baptist had been murdered by Herod. John had fulfilled his prophetic calling. He literally gave up his life to prepare hungry people to receive Jesus. Like hungry kids waiting for a meal, John had gathered crowds at the river to get them ready to receive Jesus and the blessings they had been waiting for Messiah. And John's earthly reward was death. What a waste, what a loss. Jesus had every reason to grieve, to be angry. And so he went away to a lonely place to pray, but a hungry crowd followed, wanting more. And so Jesus taught and then fed hungry people, even though his own belly ached at the pain and emptiness caused by John's death. This miracle of feeding proclaims God's power to fill what we cannot. Was this miracle of Jesus feeding thousands an excuse for him to escape from his own grief? Or does it proclaim a love that is greater than any loss? Jesus showed what God does to our cries of not having enough. Jesus was God and man. It's hard to understand. And yet, the man, the real human part of Jesus, had lost so much. He felt the same grief that we would feel at the murder of someone we love. And add on to that, the hungry people with no food. He had so little to work with. And yet, rather than selfishly lament his loss or meager pantry, he reached out to the hungry lives in his midst, as he does every day still. Now, what's interesting is this miracle of feeding 5,000 or however many it was, is the only miracle that is in every one of the four Gospels, the only one. Why is a miracle where there was not enough, so important that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all needed to make sure that story was remembered? And please understand, this miracle was not to prove Jesus was God, but to announce that God's gifts are more than enough. And faith is the miracle that fills the emptiness of an imperfect world. Jesus was surrounded by a crowd that said, "We're hungry, we're empty. We don't have enough." And in this miracle, Jesus announced to everyone, there's always more than enough. Jesus took ordinary bread. He blessed it to give it a purpose. And then he broke it into pieces to release it for service. He blessed, he broke, and then the disciples shared. He fed hungry people and turned earthly things into gifts from God. And again, the key for all of us in our lives is first to see everything as God's gift. Whether it's a few loaves of bread or a couple fish or a child, or herd of cattle, or a mountain stream, or the sun or moon. Everything is a gift from God. And the key for us to learn is to treat everything, no matter how meager or insignificant we think it might be, as holy, because it's been touched by God. Rather than complaining or worrying about how little we have, faith leads us to offer what we have as faith-filled gifts, trusting that God will change what we cannot. He provides the miracle simply using the gifts at hand. Remember, one of my college theology teachers said it a different way. He said, the world has more than enough food. The problem is just simply one of distribution. It's all about blessing and breaking. Now, isn't all of this the point of Easter? Jesus ran out of time. In our way of looking at things, he was so young. Can you imagine what he could have done, how many countries he could have gone to if he had lived another 30 or 40 years? But it seems like he ran out of time. And not enough people really understood. They still were empty in many ways. The disciples didn't have enough patience. The crowds didn't have enough love. Jesus gathered all of that emptiness to the cross, planted it with himself in a tomb, and then blessed the world with a surprise of new life. Now, can you imagine at that feeding that took place what the disciples thought when Jesus said, after they told him, hey, there's no food, no restaurants, no McDonald's. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Just sit them down and give them something to eat. Their wisdom and experience told them there wasn't enough. And yet what happened was their eyes were opened to the love of a God who doesn't let earthly weakness or scarcity or emptiness get in the way of his abundant gift giving. And if it was true then, it's true now. Many years ago, on a Sunday morning, before worship began, I was wandering along the outside of the sanctuary, looking out of the windows, down to the trees, looking for deer. And I noticed by the steps that came into the back of the church, I saw it looked like a pile of coins on the ground. I mean, a pile of coins. So I went around and walked outside, and I found that it was all coins, hundreds of them. And they were all very old, very rare, obviously valuable. One of the ushers who had come early also had been watching out the window, and he and his young son came out to see what I was looking at. It was obviously they didn't belong there. The only way they could have gotten there is that someone stole them and for whatever reason either dropped them or just left them and ran away. We didn't know, but we called the police so they could deal with it. Now, as we stood there waiting, I'm embarrassed to say that my first thought was, I wonder how much they're worth. And I was thinking about that. I heard the voice of that usher's young boy. He was only about 8. He said, Dad, maybe we should put them in the Sunday school offering today and use them to feed hungry people. It really happened. I was caught off guard so much. I was sitting there thinking of the value of their worth. And a young boy saw loaves and fishes to feed hungry people. Now, obviously, the police took the coins to find the rightful owner, who found out later that they had. But it was that young boy who turned that moment into a miracle of insight. You know, our world today is no different than Jesus' world. Think about how he was dealing with death, with a murder, with disappointment, with people that just couldn't get enough, with disciples that moaned and groaned, all the while knowing he was facing a cross. We complain so much today about not having enough, about all the pain, all the problems. But if 5 loaves and 2 fish fed thousands of hungry bellies, all indications are that with God, there's always enough for what needs to be done. If everything that exists is a potential gift of God, miracles still happen. As people of faith, find it in our hearts to bless and break and feed the hungry, comfort the lonely, bring healing to the sick, and life to the dying. It's in the loving presence of Jesus that God offers every one of us the opportunity to share God's gifts in our lives. As we follow Jesus' example in this miracle by taking, blessing, and sharing. We want Jesus to give us what we want, to perform miracles and feed us. But he calls us now to follow in his steps and be the ones that feed the hungry and comfort the lonely and share good news. You know, the world wonders about whether or not there's ever enough. Well, maybe the greater issue is whether or not God's gifts are seen for what they are and set free to become the miracles that fill the emptiness of an imperfect world. Is there ever not enough? Well, what do you think 5,000 people and 12 disciples with extra baskets of leftovers would answer? Appearances can be deceiving, and miracles are a dime a dozen when God's gifts are used for the purpose they are given. Why worry about not having enough when God always gives more than we start with? And if you don't believe it, think about what he did with a manger in Bethlehem and an empty tomb in Jerusalem.